75 episodes into this project, let's talk about all debt all the time. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to William Hearn, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I'm doing my best to make most of these episodes be in some way timeless, to cover subjects of a universal nature without having to consider them the April update or the end of summer update. But since this podcast was created specifically to pay off debt, I figure I would at least put a line in the sand to indicate where things are now. I paid off my 2012 taxes and my 2013 federal taxes. New York State looked at my revised 2013 taxes and indicated that I owed them $2,000 more, so that got added into the red. I paid off my 2014 through 2017 taxes like a normal person, and my 2018 taxes are going to be in the realm of about $11,000 due to the amount of money that the podcast made and the amount that I used from that to pay off other debts. My health troubles in 2019 added $6,000 to the end of my debts. Most of that I've paid off, with about $2,300 left to go. Finally, and I don't really consider this the same sort of debt as the rest of everything else, when I closed down my Kickstarter, I gave people the option for a full refund, walking away, or getting a loot box, and the costs from the loot box, along with the refunds, will add thousands of dollars to my debt, although that will be done in its own time, in its own way. So, on the taxes and medical bills front, I still owe money, but it's very directed, and it's very recent. These aren't ancient debts following me from my 30s and my 40s. So, the podcast continues to be the way that I pay these off. Even if I end up with additional tax burdens from running it, it allows me to drive down those debts without finding myself with $0 at the end of every month. And, as a bonus, for what's basically a side job, I'm having an incredible time putting this together. If you had told me that I had 75 episodes in me, thinking about it would have been a little concerned how those last few episodes would go. As it turns out, I'm pretty positive I can go for some time to come, because the years of working on this have forced me into a very interesting inventory. When you're trying to come up with essays that represent differing subjects each time, to not repeat yourself, to not fall into loops of memory and remembrance, it forces a level of deep inspection which a lot of folks don't have to go through. I've always had a few fun stories I could bring up in conversation, and I love joking around and making references to things that once were. But being in the position of generating an essay on a regular basis to discuss something I think people would be educated and entertained by, it's really brought in a skill set that I didn't know I had to face. It's almost functioned as a form of therapy to look coldly at something that was part of my past and put it away after one last description for an audience. That's incredibly freeing. I had very complicated feelings about the two different kinds of summer camps I attended, and describing them in a podcast completely changed my relationship to those memories. They happened, they're a part of me, but they don't become something that I fall back on anymore. Each new subject I've been covering on here allows me to give it one last little filing, put it into a box, and leave that space emotionally and intellectually for something, if not more important, at least more relevant. Of all the ways I could have approached paying down a debt, this has worked out beautifully. Debt is, ultimately, a sort of weight on your mind. It's the knowledge that the way you're living your life doesn't just stand on its own, that there's this other thing in the background that's waiting for you, that needs your attention. And as much as your mind tries to sidetrack you and distract you with all sorts of obsessions and projects, it's always there. It colors your sky. It changes how you speak. A substantial debt will change you as a person. I've watched what it does to other people. As this podcast has been going on and I've been paying things out, I've noticed the difference, the contrast between my life as it was and my life now. And with that clarity comes a very important point, which is I did all of this to myself. To learn about finances and learn about my position with my money was something I could have done. And while I may have shown some skills in some ways, like selling and promotion, I obviously didn't have it all down. In the same way that I built up mentors for public speaking or writing or creating my documentaries, I should have gotten a few people to guide me when it came to money. Nobody stands accused by me. Nobody is at fault, except for myself. In my first year of college, when we were all in line at the college bookstore to buy our books, there was a little table there, and that little table was selling people on credit cards. I was 17 years old, and they let me sign up for a pretty good credit card that had about $1,500 in credit on it. It was fun to go around Boston and buy things with the credit card and then pay the bill later, until the day that I thought, I really wanted to see somebody in California, and sitting right there was a little plastic card that told me I could do it. I think I was about 22 when I bought that flight. It cost about $1,100, and by my estimate, I probably spent 3 or 4 years paying that off, and probably costing me something like $2,000. I probably should have known at that point that I needed somebody to give me guidance. Somewhere in my late 20s and early 30s, I fell into a mental trap that I've seen in others. And if there's one thing now I try to counsel folks on, was that I conflated technical smartness with financial and tax smartness. You can start to build up this idea that if you're good at something like computers or programming, that skill goes to anything mathematical and anything financial. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. The rules are completely different, and I've seen folks who are brilliant find themselves wrapped up in a cocoon of debt and commitments that they're not letting anybody else know that they're living in. I've met people of such depth of intelligence who don't realize that if they don't have an accountant for the way they're living, it's going to come back on them years later. It's a mistake that I made, and which, if I could reach out to everyone affected by it, warn them against. In the same way, there's no shame in having a therapist, and no shame in having a lawyer. There's absolutely no shame in having an accountant. In some cases, it may be the best money you spend, because it prevents you from losing a whole lot of other money. For the past few years, my accountant has kept me pretty disciplined. He's really helped me see what different charges do, what's deductible, how to approach my finances, how to keep an eye out, and it's allowed me to focus past scary numbers or trying to understand different laws and just focus on myself and living a life. I can't recommend an accountant enough. I don't have good advice for finding a really good accountant other than to say, if you're not comfortable with them, if you can't speak freely and clearly with them, they're not for you. They'll have the skills, but they won't have enough to work with. They need you as a partner to help them give you options. There are both young accountants and mature ones, ones who will feel like a father figure and other ones who will feel like a buddy. They're pretty much always free with advice or helping you understand a term. If 75 episodes into this, you're not sold on the advantage of an accountant, I guess that's where I'll have to stop. debt is a number to me now. It's not a black cloud. It's not a strange darkness that pervades everything. It's just a number, something I'm working down, something I'm putting away, and something which represents responsibility, maturity, and looking at my life objectively. If I may be so bold, here are two homework assignments for you from this podcast. First, look at yourself objectively and determine if you have debt and what your relationship is to it. Is it a major part of your idle thoughts? Is it something you're trying to get away from? Is it always there? Is it a number that in your mind is so large that you can't even start to think about how to get it down because the pure idea of it brings you sweats and terror and misery? If that's the case, this is my permission given to you to reach out, maybe to me, maybe to a friend, but to talk with them about what it is to see the cold numbers in a spreadsheet, on a shared document, to look at it and consider what it is, where it's going, and to put a leash on it. There are steps you can take. There are people in your life who would jump at the chance to help you come to terms with this. They've been waiting for this chance. They want to help you. Maybe they don't know it's debt. Maybe they don't know that it's as bad as it is. But this would be a chance for you to see how many friends and how many understanding people are there for you. If I'm the first person you've heard this from, feel free to contact me, jason@textfiles.com. The second homework assignment is a little more abstract. Not all debt is monetary. Sometimes it's a promise. Sometimes it's knowing that you were supposed to be somewhere and you haven't quite gotten there yet. Maybe it's an offer you made to contact somebody and call them. It might even be a promise that you were going to go on a trip or be a part of something that somebody else was working on. It's absolutely a debt. It weighs on you. It's something that your mind thinks about as being in the background and that you owe others. But it's much more insidious. It's not even a number. It's just the idea that you have to step forward and claim it. It won't come in a bill. It won't call you on the phone to let you know that you're behind. It's just there. Maybe it's caused a friendship to quiet down over the course of months or years because you were afraid to reach out. I guarantee you, I absolutely guarantee that those friends, those colleagues, would forgive you that debt if it meant the difference between having and not having you in their lives. And as an aside, this scary shadow that's been haunting you subconsciously or consciously all this time probably doesn't weigh as much in the minds of the people, the places, the organizations you think it's owed to. You've taken a grit of regret, of guilt, and you've built an ever-growing pearl that's taking up more and more of your life, while making you engage with the world a little less. People miss you. They want you back. It honestly, absolutely, is worth finding out once and for all. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Mark Pilgrim, Forrest Fuqua, James Bakoyanu, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debts. The black shadow that once clouded all of my triumphs and days is now a simple, quiet fog that dissipates more every single day. I cannot thank you enough.